This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Todd Alba is back on the road. He's on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, continues today. They're stopping in Wisconsin Rapids at the WFHR, WIRI studios. You can join Todd, Trigvi Olson, Reed Galen, and their guests for another great stop across the state in Wisconsin. Todd Alba today from noon to 2 p.m. Very glad to have our next guest join us. He is the chair of WISDEMS. Ben Wickler is here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. How are you?
You look pretty awake. You look pretty conscious. I follow you on Twitter, and like you are all over the place, man.
We're in the final stretch here, right?
I wanted to start out with something which just seems to have blown up in the last couple of days. And I find it interesting because this ad that Matt Nair on Air received from a completely legitimate and totally real super PAC, Ben, we started playing this about a month ago, and now it seems to be getting reaction from some people on the Fox network. Calvin, can you play that ad that we have from this completely legitimate and totally real super PAC? Take a listen to this.
And now a message from a Wisconsin voter.
Yeah, hi, this is Betty from Rhinelander. I've been voting for the same party all my life. It's been okay, I guess. Now, my parents taught me to be patient. All things come to those who wait. But for too long now, it seems like some politicians in Wisconsin think their job is to make sure nothing gets done. What the heck is that all about? Take us back to the good old days. You mean back to polio and outhouses? There was nothing good about that, I can tell you. Oh yeah, they talk a good game at election time, but when it comes to helping folks with poisoned water, closing hospitals and childcare, where are they when it comes to actually fixing it? They gavel in and gavel out and go on vacation. It makes me so gosh darn mad. So November 5th, I'm voting a different way. I'm just not going to tell my husband, or my sister, or my garden club, or my Facebook friends, or say anything on the Substack I have about extreme knitting. But I might tell my granddaughters.
Paid for by the Let's Knit Crazy Super PAC.
I'm Betty, and I approve this message. Let's just keep it between us.
Yeah, we started running that, Ben, about a month ago, and all of a sudden now there are some national ads that are kind of picking up on that same theme, shall we say, about your vote is private. When you go in to cast your ballot, no one knows how you vote. Now, this is getting some extreme reactions from some people on the right. Calvin, let's play clip number two from Jesse Waters on Fox.
And if I found out Emma was going into the voting booth and pulling the lever for Harris, that's the same thing as having an affair. That to me.
Oh my God. Let him finish.
That violates the sanctity of our marriage.
Preach on, yes.
What else is she keeping from me?
Exactly.
What else has she been lying about?
Why would
Roll
she
the
lie
credits.
To you? Have you threatened her? Why would she lie to you?
Oh, they want me to tease.
Why would she do that and then vote Harris? Why would she say she was voting
He's
Trump
not the problem,
and then
so.
Voting Harris? And I caught her.
So
and then she said, I lied to you for the
so
last 4 years.
You admit you intimidate.
It's over.
Oh, we got to go to break. Oh, yeah. They're signaling we have to go to break. Let's get out of here. This isn't going well.
That, I think that kind of says it all, right? Which is that there's, you know, there's a ton of men who are supporting Harris, including me. There are some guys who feel like they need to be able to control women and control the women in their lives and control women that they'll never meet. And it's threatening to think that everyone can make up their own mind and it's everyone's private personal decision who they're going to vote for. And I will just tell you, I've been in 32 counties in the last 2 weeks. I've been knocking on doors myself and talking to volunteers and talking to staff all over the state. And everywhere we hear reports about couples where both have voted Republican in the past, and now there are a lot of women who are going to vote for Harris. I think this is probably a bigger deal than even shows up in the polls. And you can see in the polls a massive gender gap already. But I do think there's such a thing as the shy Harris voter, the way there used to be the shy Trump voter. I think that the way that Trump voters used to feel like they would get, you know, berated and attacked if they came out with their support for Trump. Now, there is no social sanction for being a Trump supporter in Wisconsin, especially in red areas in Wisconsin. But there is a fear that a lot of people have if they come out as somebody who's not supporting Trump now. But when it is just them and their conscience and that bubble that they can fill in on their ballot in the voting booth, I think a lot of people are going to vote for Harris. I'd rather be Harris now.
I just have one little caveat about Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters famously was married and having an affair with the young producer he is now married to. He got her to go on a date with him because he let the air out of her tires. He's talked about it on the air. So please, Jesse, take your holier than thou, you're betraying my marriage outrage. Please take it somewhere else.
Oh my God.
I think if there's no greater suggestion or a proponent for watching the live stream, it's seeing Ben Wickler's face when he heard Jesse Waters say it's the same as an affair. But the other thing too, Ben, we've talked about, you know, we've talked about this topic a lot, but also the other thing is, you know, your vote is private. No one knows who you'll vote for. But I think it's also very important to talk to men about that too. Your dad doesn't know who you vote for. Your golf buddies don't know who you vote for. You don't have to tell them. As you said just now, vote your conscience. When you're in that little booth and it's only you and that ballot, you vote what you want and you don't have to tell anybody else. And I think it's important for men to know that too, because it's so many ways that Trump is this, and I don't know why, this sense of strength and manlyhood and alpha dogticity that he's not really, but they glom onto it because they're missing something as guys. But you can just be in that booth and vote for whomever you want. And it's okay if you vote for Harris. It's fine.
It's so fine. And yeah. I think there's two big reasons for guys to do this. One is it's an act of solidarity. It's a belief in human rights, because women's rights are human rights. And, you know, as guys, like, we should respect the humanity of everybody. And, you know, if there are women in the world that you love, you can do this for them, but also do it for yourself. Do it for guys. Harris is going to be way better for men than Trump is. And, you know, if your number one issue is the economy, Harris's plans will make life more affordable and give you more opportunity, not just to, you know, get support when you're down, but also to be able to actually get ahead and start a business and you know, be your own boss and do things that a lot of people dream about. And Trump's is going to send us into recession. He's going to lift prices on everything. He's going to give tax cuts to billionaires, and he's going to stick it to everybody else. So even if there's zero solidarity, you're only thinking about your own bottom line. Guys, this is the time to vote for Harris. And I think it is easy to fall into the trap of thinking that you should, you know, that how you ought to vote should be only self-interest or concern for others. In this case, they line up perfectly, because we are all going to do better when Harris is president. Even the wealthy will probably do better, honestly, because the size of the economy will grow. If the middle class has more strength, they'll be able to buy more stuff. So people who own companies, they might have a little bit higher taxes, pay their fair share, but they'll be paying higher taxes on a larger economy. Economic growth will be higher. It has been, if you look at the last 80 years, the 40 years under Democratic presidents have had significantly higher economic growth every year than under the Republican presidents. So it is in everyone's self-interest and in their social interest to make sure that Harris wins this election.
Oh, there you go, bringing about facts again, Ben. Jeez, you just
Ben and his logic.
Things. If you're just joining us, Ben Wickler is our guest. He's the chair of WISDEMS here in Wisconsin.
I think, you know, and folks who talk about the economy And, you know, I don't worry about those billionaires and millionaires. Even if we raise their taxes a little bit, I got news for you folks. They're still going to be wealthy.
Really, really, really rich.
Wealthy beyond our imagination. And we got to worry about ourselves and the groceries we got to buy and the cars we got to afford and the homes with and the childcare. Those are the things. I'm not worried about billionaires paying more taxes. I'm worried about, can I afford to pay for what I owe right now?
And Ben, we've talked to several people about tariffs. We've been talking about tariffs for a couple of weeks, and we talked about the economics of it yesterday because the Washington Post came out with a column that said businesses are planning. They're starting to make plans to raise prices if Donald Trump imposes all of these tariffs. That's not good.
It is bad. In fact, you're absolutely right. Here's the other thing that no one's really talking about. If the U.S. starts throwing tariffs on imports from every other countries are going to throw what are called retaliatory tariffs on things that we export.
Yep.
So suddenly, if you make stuff in this United States of America, it's going to be harder to sell your goods abroad because other countries are going to respond to our tariffs by responding to a trade war that Trump will have started. That's how we spin into a recession. It's harder to export and it's harder to buy stuff in that scenario. Bad for everybody.
And that would be devastating for Wisconsin farmers.
Absolutely.
It really
would. We've seen it before.
Yep.
We saw the trade war when Trump was president before. Targeted tariffs on Harley-Davidson exports. You know, targeted tariffs on like all the stuff that we make in Wisconsin because foreign countries know that if you want to punch Trump, go where the swing votes are. So those of us who live in battleground states would be hurt the most by a trade war that Trump would start. There's no reason to do that. It's just bad for everybody.
And the other thing that our guest said, his name is James Vanderloo. He said that if the tariffs are imposed, he will be on the phone the next day with businesses who will have to relocate to other countries or shut down because they will be so affected. And they know that immediately. And that was the point that hit me right in the heart because I was like, I didn't even think about that. And that's what something he deals with every day.
Well, companies have to plan ahead and companies hate chaos. They need stability. They want stability. That stability is good for business. We're going to continue our conversation with Ben Wickler with WisDems. He's the chair. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you live from Radio Park here in Racine. My name is Jane, and
hi,
that's Greg
Jane.
Bach, and that's Calvin. And our guest is Ben Wickler. He's the chair of WisDems. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us, Ben. I know you're crazy, crazy busy traveling all over the state. Before we went to the break, we were talking about this freak out on the right now, and I believe it's the Lincoln Project that has come out with these two ads, one directed at women and one directed at men, just reinforcing that no one knows how you cast your vote when you go into the voting booth on November 5th or before. I want to play one more reaction, Ben, just because it makes me laugh. This is Charlie Kirk on Laura Ingraham talking about these ads where women aren't telling their husbands how they're voting. Calvin, play that clip, please.
It is the embodiment of the downfall of the American family. I think it's so gross. I think it's so just nauseating where this wife is wearing wearing the American hat. She's coming in with her sweet husband, who probably works his tail off to make sure that she can go you know, and have a nice life and provide for the family. And then she lies to him saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. And then she votes for Kamala Harris as her little secret in the voting booth. Kamala Harris and her team believe that there will be millions of women that undermine their husbands.
Undermine their husbands, Ben. Not think for themselves, not vote in their own interests. They're undermining their husbands.
I mean, this starts with, you know, a worldview that many people have, and it's not only men, but where the man is the ordained head of the household, and he calls the shots, and everyone follows his dominion. And this is a free country, and there are lots of different ways that families can be set up and are in fact set up. And sometimes people in the same family disagree about how that family is set up. And that is the point of having a secret ballot. That the whole idea is that it is up to each person. That is what democracy is. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they're kind of telling them themselves with this reaction, right?
Well, and
this is why there are so many people who are not telling their spouses how they're going
to
vote.
And I just can't see how they think this is going to help their cause that, you know, we love women. We're going to protect women whether you want it or not. I just don't know how that's going to play so well over the next 5 days.
I don't think it plays well, man. I got to say.
No.
All over Wisconsin, we hear the same thing. We hear people, block after block, you hear people say, look, I'm the only Democrat on this block. I don't want a yard sign, but I'm with you this time. And it's people who don't want to deal with someone like that, who is going to treat it as an act of personal betrayal if you vote your conscience in this election. But, you know, there's no force in the world that can crowd into your voting booth with you and try to make that decision for you. One thing that's striking to me is, I've sometimes met voters who specifically want to vote against the way that they're being told to vote. So I've met non-voters who say, I'm not voting because everyone tells me it's my duty to vote and I don't want anyone telling me what to do.
So they're just contrarians.
They're contrarians. But I think that this kind of stuff from, you know, people who think they're entitled to other people's votes is going to provoke contrarians to voting the other direction. If someone tried to pressure me, it would make me want to resist it by voting against what they're saying to do. And I think that it's so funny. It's almost like a reverse 2016 where the Republicans, in fact, are hectoring people and making people feel like they're obligated and making people feel like, you know, like they're pushing people in a way that I think people don't like to respond to whilst trying to, this is something Clinton never did, never would do. They're stripping away people's rights and then telling them they just have to eat it. They just have to knuckle under and submit. And that provokes a kind of an anger that I think is going to pose a real problem for the Trump campaign in these final 5 days.
I mean, that's the thing too, is like we've all seen this every time that the GOP does not win their red wave that they're expecting. They're always doing the postmortem on all of the cable news networks saying, what did we do wrong? And it always comes down to, we didn't broaden our message. We didn't include people. We didn't do the talking. They're not doing, Ben, what you are doing, what the Democrats, I think, always do better, which is the ground game, knocking on doors, making phone calls, connecting with people, hearing their stories and listening. Whereas Republicans just say, here it is, deal with it. Oh, by the way, Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage and you have to deal with that too. It's just, it's not a cohesive message. And they keep on stepping on their own, they rake stepping over and over again as we get closer and closer to the election. And it's just, you kind of want to say to yourself, do you know how to actually run a campaign? Do you think this is the right way?
You know, Trump has told his team, he's told them, I will get the votes out. You just prevent it from being stolen. And there's a profound arrogance that's built into that.
Yeah.
But he seems to really believe to his core that you know, if he like yells at people enough, that they're going to come out and vote for him in great numbers. And the thing is, if you are an experienced volunteer and you've actually gone door to door, there are so many different reasons why people hesitate. Sometimes it's logistical. Sometimes it's just not having the basic information about where to go to cast your ballot or what information you need to bring. Sometimes it's that people have so much going on in their lives, they haven't had time to realize that they won't have time on election day, so they need to make a plan to go beforehand. And when Trump pulls back from doing any on-the-ground organizing, he basically leaves all those votes on the table. He takes people that would otherwise vote for him, but they're not getting the kind of personal support to just figure out a plan and actually go cast their ballot that would lead to an extra vote for him on his end. He thinks that his own animal magnetism is enough to ensure that everyone will crawl through glass and cast votes for him. And it's just, it's a kind of a disrespect for the reality of voters' lives to me. I find it kind of personally offensive in the way that a democracy should work.
Well, and I find it interesting because there have been some, there has been some reporting now about the ground game that the Republicans have going on, and they outsourced it to some Charlie Kirk group, which allegedly was falsifying how many door knocks they were doing and then taking the money.
Yeah. So there's Charlie Kirk, and then there's the Elon Musk Super PAC, America PAC.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk Super PAC is, there's a huge report about how they hire people without telling them what they're actually going to be doing.
I saw that.
And so they wind up hiring all these people who don't know that they're supposed to go out and push for Trump. And like, we've actually experienced that in Wisconsin. I have multiple stories that I've gotten back from the field of America PAC canvassers coming around, doing their script, and then people ask, you know, who are you voting for? And they say they're voting for Harris.
Oh my God.
And I know, which this is what happens when you treat actual organizing and engagement with voters as a total afterthought. It's so all of that is, it's the kind of thing that makes me feel like even though the polls are tied, I would just much rather be the Harris campaign at this moment. And I think this is a good lesson for democracy that you can't just throw money at everything. You actually have to do organizing, which means meeting people where they are, treating them with respect, conveying through your actions that they matter. That's what Democrats believe.
Ben Winkler, the chair of WisDems, thank you so much for all the work doing. 5 days. We'll see you on the other side. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide, coming to you from our home, our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This Friday, tomorrow night, we got hockey action for you. Wisconsin at Notre Dame. The broadcast starts at 5:30. You can listen on WFHR and 1320 AM in Wisconsin Rapids. That's Wisconsin at Notre Dame tomorrow starting at 5:30. He joins us every other Thursday at this time, whether or not he is fighting off the plague. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. How you doing, J.R.?
I am doing great, friends. I'm surprised there's no Halloween costumes today. This is, I feel like this would have been your moment. What's going on?
I'm wearing my Peanuts shirt that just says, I got a rock. That's all I got for, that's all I got for a Halloween costume.
I'm dressed as me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not dressed up, so I'm not really throwing stones here, but it, you know, I thought, oh, the screen's going to pop up and I'm going to see what everybody is for Halloween. Alas, it's all right. It's all right.
Next year. Yeah. We'll do it next year. Yeah. So
it is a kind of an important election season more than a Halloween season. So, you know, I understand.
Most definitely. The World Series is over.
Thank God.
It's over. The Dodgers, they came back from 5 down last night, and as a nice Wisconsin tie-in, after they surrendered a 5-run lead thanks to a bevy of very stupid mistakes, wild fifth inning. I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it. So many mistakes. Wisconsin's own Gavin Lux with the go-ahead sacrifice fly to give the Dodgers the lead later in the game. So that was cool. Or I should say that tied the game. Mookie Betts' sacrifice fly gave them the lead. So they win 4-1. They kind of dominated that series. Looked like we were, you know, actually, I was surprised to learn that teams that win the first 3 games, it won't shock you that they've won all of the World Series if they've won the first 3 games of the series, but nobody had even forced a game 6, let alone a game 7. So we were on the cusp of seeing something that we had never seen before, forcing a game 6, but it didn't happen. Pity for New York. They're so they never get anything in New York. Well, New York and Los Angeles.
Well, both teams, I'm just saying this, for both teams, regardless, I really hope this is the boost that you need to get those tiny market teams out there in the world to see that talent. I mean, good job, everyone.
Yeah, the meteor didn't strike for small market baseball fans, and the Dodgers come away with the title. You know, it is fair to note the Dodgers' only title since the 80s came in 2020. Most people feel like that season barely counts because it was a 60-game season and a weird playoffs. I mean, I think it counts, but whatever. So it's not like the Dodgers themselves are rolling in championships, but they definitely are rolling in dough. So yes, not a lot of like scrappy underdog. Not a lot of that going on.
No.
What happened the other night with the fan who tried to take the baseball out of the glove of the guy, the outfielder?
Yes.
What was that?
On Tuesday night, early in the game, first inning, it's a fly ball to the outfield. Mookie Betts goes up to make a catch against in foul territory against the wall on the side of the building, side of the stadium. And he goes up and gets it, makes the catch, and the fan reaches in, grabs his hand and his glove, rips it open. The ball comes popping out. There's another fan contributing to it as well. It was the umpires were on top of it. They still ruled it an out. They ruled the fan interference. The fans were ejected from the game. And eventually they were told they could not come back for game 5. In the meantime, they become like New York heroes.
Yep.
It's kind of disgusting. I mean, like they're losers kind of. I mean, I don't get it. But.
Yeah.
This is where we need to bring back public stockades. I'm sorry. Just for a day, Jane, so we can walk by and mock you. That was a ridiculous thing for them to do. And for them now to be lauded for that is pathetic.
Do you think for a moment any New York Yankees fan, you put the stockade in the middle of Central in Times Square, they're sitting there, they'd be like, I'd do it again.
Well, they don't get to go to New York.
Oh,
it's in L.A.
They stockade in L.A.
And the thing is, someone made the comparison to the gentleman years ago. It was 10 years ago or so, or 2000.
Steve Bartman in 2003.
Yep. Who just wanted to catch the ball and got in the way of a catch. He had to up his life. He had to like disappear because he was vilified, and these guys are celebrated.
Oh, I don't know. I have a feeling that guy's mother is like, you did what? We're going to talk. I want to talk to you about what you did.
We'll see if it's Yankees. If it's Yankees, I don't know. I mean, I hold no hope.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to my son about Steve Bartman because he wasn't around for that in 2003. And obviously the difference here is that Bartman's sort of accidental action of interfering costs the team at home, costs the Cubs, costs his team, whereas this is in favor of the team. So that's the major difference here. But you're right, Steve Bartman, I mean, there's a 30 for 30 about how awful he was treated, how he had to get police escort out of the building for his own safety, not because he was being ejected. And then this guy, people are taking selfies with him. And, you know, it's a matter of circumstances. If it had been a Dodgers fan who interfered with a Yankees player, it would have been obviously very different. It's just, I mean, it's one thing to interfere. It's one thing to unwittingly interfere the way that Steve Bartman or a lot of people have done over the years. It's quite another thing to like reach down, grab a player's hand. I mean, like, would not release this guy's hand and pry open the glove. I mean, that's like banned for baseball for life.
Yeah. That's what
right?
I said.
I mean, you can't let that guy back in a stadium.
That's exactly what I said. He's a danger and he should be charged with assault. Him and his buddy, just get him out of here. Get them out of here.
Well, and I know that there are many good examples of guys who catch foul balls and stuff and then they'll give them to a kid. But there are still plenty of other guys who are shoving kids out of the way so they can get to the foul ball. That ain't manly, guys. I'm sorry. That's really kind of pathetic.
Yeah, and it's all caught on TV, and people don't care. You know, like it's like this is something I feel like I should be allowed to do. That's sort of this guy's point. Is like, well, this is my territory back here, and you reached into my territory. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said. Like, you come into our territory, we take it. Like, that's not how anything works. And I completely agree with you, JR. I think like, oh, you can't come back for game 5. Oh no, no, you don't get to come back to baseball ever.
Yeah.
Yankees did an amazing thing, actually. I'm not one to compliment the Yankees, but they used those seats and gave them away to a child who's been battling cancer.
Oh, nice.
Family.
Good.
And I mean, I was just thinking the genius of that, even from, you know, obviously there's the emotional part of that, and I think that's amazing. But even if you divorce it from that, So now is the fan going to come back and say, I can't believe they took my tickets? Like, you idiot. Are you really going to complain about how this worked out? I mean, that's it's a really good move. Really cool.
JR, he did the first thing. I can see him doing the second thing.
That's a good point. Yes, that's
yeah.
Good point.
Oh, definitely. That kind of fits into that whole personality.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is here. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So the Packers squeaked it out on Sunday, and now we're heading into the Lions. How are you feeling about this Sunday's game?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're going to lose this game. And a couple reasons why. The Lions are sensational. They have been the best offense in football, and recently they have been unstoppable. They are a tour de force right now. And the Packers are dinged up, like not across the board, but Jordan Love's health is a serious question mark this week. It's unclear if he's going to practice at all. He has sort of this knee issue from earlier in the year. He tweaked a groin injury during the game against Jacksonville, which is why Malik Willis played the entire second half in his stead and was able to gut them out to a win. But Detroit's another ball game. They're just a really good team, and I think that they are going to beat the Packers. Other guys who are hurt maybe include guys like Jair Alexander. There were a lot of three of the five starting offensive linemen did not practice on Wednesday. Doesn't mean they'll all be out. Josh Jacobs didn't practice on Wednesday. Like, a lot of key guys suddenly, for a team that's been healthy all year, a lot of key guys are suddenly like nursing their way back to health. The bye comes up right after the game against the Lions. They'll get another whole week. It's got to be very tempting to sit some of these guys, let them have 2 weeks off, and then come back at full strength with a pretty strong schedule after the break. So I think the Lions win. On the other hand, let's say Malik Willis plays and they keep it close or even, you know, pull out the victory. That's going to be awfully uplifting for a team that has had, you know, I would say that the team's got another gear in there. They've had a lot go right this year to be 6-2. And I think we haven't seen the fully realized version of the Packers yet. So if they are to get this game, it's going to be a huge omen. I mean, I really think you're talking about a team that can, you know, I know we all thought at the beginning of the year, Super Bowl is a possibility here. If they beat the Lions, I think Super Bowl is absolutely a possibility, a very, very tangible one. They got to get Jordan Love back to full strength and playing his best. We have not seen that this year.
I don't mean to be disloyal to the Green Bay Packers, but I am glad that the Lions no longer have decades of suckage, you know, because they were so, sure. They suffered so much like Packer fans did for 20 years. And now they have finally have a viable team.
For sure. Unlike the Yankees or Dodgers, we actually can feel bad about the Detroit Lions. You know, my wife is a big Lions fan. Again, not to be disloyal, but we do have a Lions flag out in front of our house because we got a lot of Detroit fandom in this house. It is not necessarily shared. No marriage is perfect, but I would say that it is extra refreshing for me to see that they have found something. This coach, Dan Campbell, has been has just really lifted everything there. And they did lose a guy, Aiden Hutchinson, for the year. He was probably on track to be a defensive player of the year candidate, but they are still really cooking. They got a lot of things going in their favor right now. And they're easy to root for when they're not playing Green Bay.
Yes, exactly. J.R. Radcliffe is here. We're talking all things sports. Let's move on to the Bucks with the time that we have left. It's been kind of a fast start.
No, this has been really bad. And they play Memphis on Thursday night, and it's on the road. And I don't know if the Bucks would be favored to win that game. And if they lose it, they're going to be 1-4 to start the season. The one win on opening night against Philadelphia, a team that was missing its two best players, and quite honestly, absolutely, the Bucks should have won that game. And they did. They won convincingly. But then losses to the Bulls and the Nets, two of the teams that I think people regard as among the worst in the NBA, pretty disheartening. And a home opener, especially against the Bulls, it has not looked good. And it isn't, I don't know if it's necessarily like the chemistry between Damian Lillard and Giannis. I don't think it's that. It's kind of everybody else who's just not playing well. And they don't have Chris Middleton, who's injured, who seems lately the last 3 years to always be injured and always seems like they're missing something pretty significant without him. But now it's getting to the point where it's like, can they even win games without him? In previous years, even when things weren't going great, they were always winning games. Now it's a very small sample to start the year. They did play better against Boston, the reigning champs, and they were leading at halftime and in the game right up until a stretch in the third quarter. But this is not good. This is a pretty big red flag, in my opinion. I don't know if it fully changes my expectations for the team. I don't know how four games can really do that. But it really does make me think that this team is not a surefire top six team in the East. And that's important because if you're not top six, you end up in the play-in games in the postseason, which means you know, it's equivalent to the wild card in baseball. It starts to become, you know, dicey that you even get to the main part of the playoffs, where we've gone from, is this a championship team? Now it's like, are we sure they're a surefire playoff team? I think they still are, but it's getting it's dicey. I don't know.
I mean, are they going to go right now? They still have three head coaches on the payroll. So maybe they just go back to one of the old ones.
yeah, maybe one of them is now with Phoenix. Yeah. Mike Budenholzer, they're doing fine. So, yeah, they've had some trials and tribulations the last two seasons. And I wonder if they could do it all over again if they maybe Mike Budenholzer. I didn't hate the move at the time, but it feels like that might have set some things in motion that have been a little difficult to come back from.
Yeah.
It's still hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that Giannis is considered old now. But I understand that the physicality of the game, and he's almost 30, so... But he's almost near death, apparently. But it does make a difference when you're playing at that level. I think we lost JR.
JR is frozen in time.
Oh, there he is.
He's back.
Now, from my perspective, the three of you were frozen in time. But yes, I don't know what happened there.
Ever contradict us.
We're just about out of time, JR. JR Radcliffe, read him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday. Thank you so much, JR. Really, really appreciate it.
Go get some rest, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We'll be good. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Stay right with us when we return. This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Scary Clown Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The pack's on the grass. Now they're gonna kick your ass. Pack's got the fire.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Thanks to JR for joining us. He is not feeling terribly well, and we really appreciate that. Just a couple of reminders, too. 5 days.
Yeah.
Okay. 5 days to Election Day. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Don't give up. Stay positive. Stay activated. Stay motivated. Ignore the political ads. Mute them.
Whether printed or on your television or on get away from them. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how to treat yourself in the voting season, because we want to make sure take care of ourselves too.
Self-care is an important thing.
Yes, absolutely.
It absolutely is. Absolutely. All right. It's 11:52, Calvin. That means it is time for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you feel should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. A scary clown edition today. Greg Bach, you're the one who found this one.
Yeah, a Halloween clown was taken to a hospital after being attacked with a needle at a Scarefest event.
What?
This happened in North Wales. And I always thought the English were much, and the Welsh and the Irish were just so far more sophisticated than us.
I didn't think they did much for Halloween.
I guess they do. There is something, I'm not going to even try this. It looks like Betswa and Coed.
Oh, Welsh is tough.
All the Welsh people, please don't at me. I understand it. You're
more consonants you've ever seen in any one place.
Your municipalities are like 48 letters long, and you're like, it's easy. But point is, in North Wales, there was a Scarefest event put on by a group called Zip World. And it's, you know, like what we do here, haunted house, haunted corn maze.
Not zombies chase
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly. And according to the company, a staff member was come in contact with a potentially dangerous medical device, i.e. one of the patrons stabbed them with a needle.
What?
Yeah. So in this situation, it was the clown that was scared.
Wow.
Yeah. They had to be taken to hospital. Hospital.
Hospital, yes.
They had to be taken to the hospital. Everything is fine with the clown. But, folks, if you're going to go to one of these things, first of all, I'm not going. You honestly, you could pay me $1,000 cash and be like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Haunted corn maze, haunted hayride, haunted house, what doesn't matter?
Not doing it.
No, but also, if you're going to, fine. Just like voting, you're free to do what you want. But don't take weapons with you.
You don't get to attack the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not part of it.
That's a real person behind the mask and all the stuff there, because they had to go to the hospital and you stabbed a clown with a needle.
And it's make-believe.
Yes.
I'm just throwing that out there. Calvin, did you want to chime in on this?
Well, the other day...
I was stabbing a clown with a needle.
No, me and Greg had a conversation about horror movies. And yes. I personally love horror movies, but I am going to agree with him. I'm not really into the whole haunted house type of thing, especially ones that like rely on like claustrophobia. Not my thing.
Yeah.
Small spaces.
Yep.
But yes, don't bring weapons to the haunted houses.
I just don't. Yeah. Calvin, see, like I wish I loved that stuff. I feel like I think I'd be happier if I did, honestly, because I know people who love horror movies. They dress up like them. They watch the movies with their friends. They go to conventions. I watch documentaries. I'm not going to a documentary convention. I want to love horror stuff, too, but I'm such a scaredy cat. The point is, though, folks, we're going to bring it back to where we came from. If you're going to go to one of these haunted places, fine. Have fun.
Yeah.
Don't stab the staff with needles or anything.
Especially clowns.
Yeah, they've had a bad rap for a long time.
They had a tough time. All right, that wraps it up for today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Craig Bach.
You're welcome.
We have a lot coming up on the show tomorrow. It is November. November 1st, tomorrow, that will be 4 days away from Election Day. You can still go early vote.
Yep.
If you have any questions about whether you're registered, go to civicmedia.us/vote. There's also a link there to myvote.wi.gov. Mm-hmm. If you've already cast your ballot, Sherry from Horicon checked in earlier this morning. If you go to myvote.wi.gov, go to ballot tracker.
Yep.
And that will take you through the whole process so that you know that your ballot has been registered and is ready to get counted.
And I want to say thank you to Sherry for calling, for not only sharing with us her journey of voting, but also what she's going through right now. Our heart goes out to you and your son. Honestly, I hope you two can
there's a lot of households.
Have a talk.
There's a lot of households, unfortunately, that are very, very divided about this.
Yeah.
Hopefully after Tuesday, we can all find a way to move past it. Accept the results.
Yes, we're going to accept the results, everybody.
Accept the results.
Accept them.
And then
real.
Unify as Americans.
Yeah, together.
Together and get something done for all of us.
Yes.
No matter who you vote for.
Yep.
Dan Schaefer will be here tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. Also, looking forward to talking to Kyle Kilborn. He is going to be running again. He is running against Tom Tiffany.
Oh, boy.
Chance to make some changes up north. All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone in Civic. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today. You get the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it right here on the vast, statewide, countrywide, perhaps global, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.